Good morning, Thrive Tribe. We are so excited to have you join our podcast this morning. Man, you just being here means so much to us. As a matter of fact, we'd also count it just a great privilege if you'd take time to review and rate our podcast. It'll just help us reach more people for Christ, and that is our goal. We also want to give you an opportunity to give. If you'd like to do that and support the ministry, you can go to thrivechurchonline.com. Just go to the giving tab. But without further ado, let's jump right into the message. So this is going to wrap up Guy Code. I've liked Guy Code. I think some of you guys have liked Guy Code. I think some of you guys have hated Guy Code because it causes men to become men. Next week, Lord willing, we may put a little gap in there. We may not, but more than likely next week, we are going, I want to call it Girl Code, but that got rejected in process. But we are going to start the women's, I don't even know what the title of it is, but we're going to start the women's half of that. Pastor Tracy has been working diligently on it. She came to me with all these things that the Lord had laid on her heart, because we're going to be team teaching that, which is always fun. It's good to get both perspectives on that. And she looked at me and she said, hey, here are all my ideas about being a woman. And I'm like, she's like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think I've never been one. So I'm going to lean into the conversation. I'm going to speak from a male's perspective on what we see. But there's only so much that I can speak on about women. But when I hear my wife talk about it, I gain perspective and I gain understanding, because there's stuff that goes on in y'all's head that quite frankly scares me. Because I don't understand. She was talking through some of the ways that women see themselves and some of the struggles that go on inside women's head. And I literally just sat down on a kitchen table and I said, you know, if men struggled in the same way, and we have our own struggles, fair enough. Like, we got our own issues. But I was like, man, if I struggled on the level that, in the ways that you struggle, I would be dysfunctional. Like, and I don't mean like just weird. I would be unable to function with some of the pressures that women put on inside themselves. And I think part of this multiple set series is, how as a man do I lead with a guy code? How do I lead well? And then secondly, women, how do you deal with the stuff that you've got to deal with? And men, how do we understand what they've got to deal with? Maybe in a new way. I've been married for 25 years, and sitting at my kitchen table this week, I went, I never really knew you dealt with that. This is a process. Can I take it a step further? You're not going to get it all figured out in one series. But then once we leave the women's side of it, we're going to go with, okay, now we have two godly perspectives on how to live. How do we put these two godly things together so they don't kill each other? All married people said. Because divorce is about 50 to 60% rate right now. Man, how do we keep that from happening the next time? Because we've got folks in here who have lost marriages, not necessarily to anything they've done, but how do we make sure that we don't do that again? And if I'm single and I've never been through a divorce, how do I parachute that a little bit? How do I kind of hedge against that? Because if you've ever been through a divorce is one of the most painful things you can ever go through. It's horrible. You leave part of you behind. One of my favorite moments in Fireproof was they glued the salt and pepper shaker apart, and the guy hands it to the other guy and says, pull these apart and tell me how you don't mess one of them up. And I went, wow, that's good. Man, if you've been through a divorce, our prayer is that through this process, it will hopefully bring some healing for the future. And if you haven't been through a divorce, maybe it will keep you from going through a divorce. Because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have problems. In the house this morning, just because you are a Christian does not mean you don't have problems. Matter of fact, I think sometimes it creates more problems. Some of y'all are afraid to agree with me. You're like, you're setting us up, preacher. No, I'm not. I'm being honest, man. This is just, it's the world we live in. Because look, if I don't have to follow Christ, then I can treat my wife any old way I want to. Ain't no man go amen that, especially when sitting with his wife. He's like, I ain't saying jack. And if I'm not a godly woman, then I don't have to treat my husband a certain way. And not a woman said a word. They're like, well, I'll pray on that. Just pray on it. So anyway, okay, I'm going to jump into this week's series. So man, we're glad you're here. Happy Father's Day again. So this week, this is going to wrap up a series, and I'm going to do a quick recap. I've gotten kind of long on my recaps in the past. I'm going to try not to do that. But we started with Joel chapter 3, 9 through 10. And it said, proclaim this in all the nations, consecrate for war. We believe that there's a war going on inside of every man. Most of the time, it's not even a war with the devil. Honestly, it's a war within ourselves. It said, stir up the mighty man. We believe that there's a mighty man inside of every man that just needs to be stirred up. It says, let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. We believe that this is your come up. Verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm a warrior. And basically what we believe is this. Thank you so much. We moved this so that people were cutting their legs on it during practice. And we're like, that's not a good thing. But we believe that inside of every man is a crooked man. And we believe that if you will take the time and allow God to straighten out your crooked ways, he can take a piece of blank metal and he can turn it into a weapon of war that he can use. And that's not to be used against your family, but for your family. That's not to be used against your children, but for your family. It's to fight off the enemy. It's to fight off the stuff that goes on inside of our head and inside of our hearts as men. We believe that as we say that I'm a warrior, we begin to see ourselves in a little bit of a different light. We believe that we can see ourselves as mighty men of God. And that's our prayer today, is that if you're here as a man, that you'll begin to allow God to stir something up inside of you to make you something more than what you are. We believe that you've got two gifts to give. We believe that you've got a gift to give to the world around you, and you've got a gift to give to God. And that when you do those two things, you'll give that gift to your family, and you'll give it in ways of servanthood to your family and to the world around you, because we just think that there are two great things inside of every man. Week two. Notice I only brought the 5 pound up. I left the 25 and the 10 on there. We said that everybody's got a weight to carry, and the question was, do you even lift, bro? And so the thing of it is we all want to talk about leading our house. Man, I'm the head of my house. Well, okay, well, what does that really look like? And we talked about this. Do you even lift? Do you even do the work that it takes to be the man of your house? Anybody can create a kid. Biologically, it ain't real hard. Can I be honest with you? It ain't real hard to get married. You can get married in short order. We can do it this afternoon. We can go to the Love Shack. We can fly to Vegas, $59 Southwest. We can be there and back each way. It's not hard to get married, but learning to be a husband and a father means that you start out and you lift the little things. I had guys, in this series, I told people, guys, I want you to do two things. I want you to pray out loud over your family. I had guys call me struggling with praying out loud over their family. And honestly, for me, this was such a setback, because I'm like, man, this is such an easy thing to do. You can just pray over your family. Just pray. You don't have to pray good. That always is a people will pray and then they'll look at me, like if I ask them to pray at a church service or something, then they'll look at me and go, how'd I do? I don't know, did you talk to God? Yeah, well, then you did great. I don't always get my word. I preach for a living. My job is to communicate for a living. I talk to people. But my big old fat tongue and my little bitty brain sometimes have a wrestling match and we can't get it together. Doesn't mean that it's not good. You just may have to work a little harder to get the nut out of the shell. Anybody ever had a Reese cup stuck in the sun? Yeah. So what do? What's the answer? You don't throw that away. No, you take it and you put it in the freezer. Come on, somebody give me a witness here. Because you're like, man, I'm going to harden this jank up. Because by the time you figure out it's in the sun, you want it. So you throw it in the freezer and you get it hard real quick. Then you get all this chocolate and peanut butter encased around that little thin, like wrapper. But there are no quitters in this house. You eat that wrapper and you pick and piece. Unless if somebody's around you care about, you'll do it unashamedly. Your kids will walk in the room. You go, what are you doing, Mama? You know, eating my Reese cup. Dad, what you doing? Because some things are worth the, they're worth the struggle. If you're going to be the man of God that you're really called to be, it's going to be a struggle. My kids aren't up where when I leave the house. Do you pay for everybody's cell phone? Call them. You can pray. And if you're a single mom, pray over your kids. You're the head of your house. If you're a single dad, pray over your kids. You're the head of the house. So that was week two. Week three, oh, and then we talked about doing a devotional, and we said this, man, you don't have to do devotionals like TJ could get away with this because he's a great guitarist, but you don't have to grab your guitar and lead your kids through four worship songs. I got miracles on miracles. Because in our house, especially when we had a little kid, it's like, sit down and shut up. Now hear from the Lord. So in our house, it looked more like this. Like I would come in and I would present a concept to my family, and I just made it the theme of our house for a season. And it was like this, like turn the other cheek. When do you need to stop turning the other cheek? How about this? How about we talk about forgiveness? In our culture, we could really learn a whole lot about forgiveness. Like, not everybody's against you. Yeah, but you don't understand. Well, Jesus told somebody, you know what, if a Roman comes, and it doesn't matter where you're on your way to, if a Roman comes and asks you to carry their gear, by law you had to carry it a mile. And Jesus said, but I'm going to give you a new law. Don't carry it a mile, carry it two. All of a sudden, people are like, I don't like this Jesus so much. Can I be honest with you? Until you've lived or you don't like Jesus so much, you're not really in the faith. Because Jesus is going to ask you to do some stuff that you're like, no, flag. No, that's not what I want to do. Well, let me tell you something. As men, we do what we don't want to do. I never want to take the trash out. And I just make that apparently clear. But that's my job. I don't know how it became my job, but that's my job. So you know what I've done? Over the past couple weeks, I've tried to preemptively strike the trash. In the past, no, this is the way it works in our house, especially when just the guys are home and Tracy's not there. We'll keep putting stuff into the trash until it pretty much becomes a giant game of Tetris. Like the trash can's here, but the pile is up here. So when you take it, you know what's going to happen, guys, when you pick that stuff up. It's going to fall, but we can still stack more on top. So what I've tried to do is before my wife asks, I try to take the trash out. You know what? That seems like a little thing. It's not hard to lift. But when I begin to lift things without being asked or made to, I begin to assert leadership in my house. Not leadership where my wife doesn't want to follow me, but where my wife wants to follow me. Which took us into the third week, and we talked about leading with the dart or the ring pop. And we said this, that every guy by his actions and by his words can either throw a dart or a ring pop. Now the funny thing is, my wife went in to get her hair done this week, and the ladies in the, they don't go to our church, but evidently they had watched it in this, the folks, yeah, or she was telling them about it, and they started talking about the darts that we throw, and they're like, oh, that's good, I'm going to go watch that one. And so this became a whole discussion, and I was sitting there thinking, well, maybe you and your husband need to watch this together, because we believe this. I would never take a dart and just randomly throw it at somebody. But I will come home with my words and throw my words at my wife and my children without even thinking about it. And if you've ever been spoken to that way, honestly, I think sometimes I'd rather get hit with the dart than the words. Because at least the dart will only hurt for a season and it'll heal. Sometimes words never heal. Sometimes there are arguments and things that are said that we never quite get over. We try, but we struggle. So we came out of that and we jumped into 1 Kings last week, and we talked about that Elijah came to call Elisha. And at the end it says that he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. And that in that process of doing that, he burned his plow and he killed his oxen and he said goodbye to his family. And we talked about that if you're really going to do this thing, if you're really going to be a Christ follower and you're really going to get into guy code, that you're going to have to say goodbye to some people. And then you're going to have to say goodbye to some ways that you've done things. And man, I'm a burn the plow kind of guy. So like if I decide I'm going to eat right, like I go through our house and I throw away all the junk food. Because if it ain't there, I can't eat it. We're not all on a diet. That's what my son says. We're not all eating that way. And I'm like, I burned the plow. Does this make sense? When you really commit to something, you burn your ability to go back. The question that I asked was in the calling of Peter. Peter called Peter and said, Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And it said, and immediately, and I appreciate this, but immediately Peter left the boat. but he left the boat. So when he fell, when Peter denied Jesus and the flock scattered as Christ was crucified, where did Peter go back to? He went back to the boat. Why? Because he never burned the boat. If there was no boat to go back to, would it have changed Peter's story? Maybe. May not have changed his actions, but it may have hindered him going back to what he was used to. So let's jump into this week. So you're gonna like, I think you're gonna like this week. You may not like this week. You may, I don't know. We'll see. So I want you to imagine just for a second, because it's just us and whoever happens to be online. Is that fair? I'm gonna ask you an honest question, but I don't want you to answer them out loud. Everybody say, don't answer them out loud. Because if I don't say that, somebody's going to start talking back to me. Because it's happened before. One time I was in service, I said, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer out loud. And it was a pretty personal question. And we had somebody scream the answer out. I felt bad for them and for me, because it created a super awkward environment for people to try to follow the way the Lord was moving. So let me ask you a question. And it's just to be answered in your head. When you think about a pastor, you think about me, you think about another pastor, you think about wherever you serve. When you have a problem, what do you want their compassion level to be? In other words, how would you want them to respond when you had a problem or an issue or a crisis? How would you want them to react? Give you another question. What kind of leadership style would you want them to have? Now, I've had the privilege of working for a bunch of different pastors. I've had some pastors that were just MIA. I did what I wanted to, and they didn't even know if I was in the office. Now, I've always been an office hours guy. I've always, except for a very short run of my ministry, I've always worked in a physical location. I didn't do it for a season here and at another place just because the facilities and some challenges. But I like going to an office, because for me, there's a separation between working from home. Anybody live through 2020 and work from home? There's a distinction in my mind that has to be, this is when I go to work, and this is when I'm the pastor, and this is when I'm a chief decision maker and an organizational leader and that kind of thing. And this is when I'm a dad and a husband and a home leader. So I've worked for yellers. I worked for one guy, and he yelled over everything. He yelled when he was mad. He yelled when he was happy. He yelled when he was excited. He yelled when he was sad. He yelled when he was scared. And it was all the same level of rage. He was a pastor, but he just, different level. I worked for one guy who you couldn't get him to yell if the building was on fire. Everything was like, well, you know, today, people, we can just exit the building because there's a fire. Nobody panic. Now, see, I'm an up and down guy, so I like a little bit of emotion. I've worked for pastors that literally, I've been in the office a week and met them in the parking lot, and literally they said this: when did you get here? I've been here. So I've worked for guys who were micromanagers, and I've worked for guys who are no managers. Anybody work for some of these folks? Okay, so what kind of leadership style would you want from your pastor? Here's your third question. What kind of prayer life would you want your pastor to have? Hopefully you answered that one quickly. Okay, how much Bible and Word do you want them to have in their daily life? How approachable would you want them to be over anything? Anything you needed to talk about? How bold would you want them to be? And what does that boldness look like? How much of an encourager would you want them to be? Last question. Would you want them to always tell you the truth or just tickle your ears? So do you have an image in your mind of what you want a pastor to look like? Now, let me ask you a question. As men, is it not our job to pastor our home? So what if we went back and we asked this question differently? What if we went back and we said, in your house, we're just talking about you right now, nobody else, how compassionate are you? What's your leadership style in your house? Are you a micromanager? Are you a tyrant? Are you disconnected? Are you just the dude who show up and go, hey, when did y'all get here? We've been here the whole time, Dad. Honey, I've been here all day. Where have you been? Are you an involved leader? Are you passionate about your people? Let me ask you, what if you had a pastor who wasn't passionate about you? Well, our 10th cultural code says this, we'll never take this place for granted. Inside of that means we never take you for granted. The minute you take people for granted, you take this place for granted. I never take my home for granted because one of the great things about my job is I get to see screwed up 24/7. There have been times I've come home and looked at my wife and said, let me tell you something, if I haven't thanked God for you, I'm doing it right now. Because I just met this woman and she is Fruit Loop crazy. Met them. Don't even act like I'm being unspiritual right now. You've talked to a neighbor and been like, whoo, she is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. She is next level crazy. And you've met that husband when you come home, and no matter if your husband's perfect or not, you come home and you're like, I thank God for you. Or you, maybe you just go, God, I thank God I'm single. Because there are men that will make you thank God that you're single. And if you haven't met one, you need to get out of the house. You need to go to Walmart. What's our leadership style? Let me ask you a question. If you're supposed to lead your house, what does your prayer life look like? Are you the first stop for your family when they need to seek God? Are you the first stop when your family needs prayer? What about this? What if I went to your family and I said, man, how much word does your dad or your husband take in? How much are they? Now, I'm not asking about being perfect, because let me tell you something. My family sees my imperfection all the time. You guys get to see the pastor version. They get to see the, like, chip crack. Because there are two kinds of cups you serve coffee to guests in, right? You got guests, real visitors into your house. You don't give them the old chipped, cracked, real cup that you drink out of every day. Can I get a witness from somebody? You got two sets of, it's like we have two sets of plates in our house. If you visit us, you get the guest plates. If you're there every day, you get the ones that are like dishwasher etched in some spots. Or, right? I mean, it's real world that we live in. Well, here's the thing. You get the unchipped version of me. Because it's only 30 minutes. Okay, 45, I lied in church. But my family gets the real version. And here's the thing, they see me wrestle with Scripture. They see me wrestle with the application. They get to see the Paul version where Paul says, man, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the very things that I wish I was doing is what I'm not doing, or what I wish was, I wasn't. And it's this chaos of serving Christ and trying to be but not always living up. But here's the thing that they'll tell you always in my life is the wrestle with the word. Not always the perfection of the word, because here's the thing. Krieger Schell says this. It says that people will follow leaders that are real above leaders that are perfect. If you're looking for me to be a perfect leader, you're in the wrong building. Now, if you're looking for a guy who's in pursuit of the word of God, you've got the right place. How approachable are you at home? Are there things that your family go, oh, I don't want to talk to Dad about that? Well, yeah, if you're a good dad, they're always going to say that with certain things. There are things I don't want to go tell Jesus about. I mean, he saw it, but I don't want to own it. If you ever done something you just don't, like, you just like, I ain't going to tell Jesus about that. I'm so ashamed that I did that. Jesus, I don't know if you saw this. He said, I did. How approachable are you? But now here's the balance, because what it sounds like is the emasculation of men if you take this to the wrong extreme, right? People that are leaders in our church will tell you that I lead with a certain boldness. When it comes to COVID, my repeat statement is we're going to be aggressive but not reckless. We didn't always check every box that certain people wanted us to. I just believe that God made you two things. He made you spiritual and smart. Handle your own business, right? Like, if you want to come in a bubble suit and a hazmat class 10 suit with cell foaming spray, you do it. Praise God. And if you didn't, or you were on the other end of that, and you just said, you know what, I'm not doing anything. I'll whatever. We were okay with that too. We said, man, masks are available, but we didn't check every box. We were one of the last churches in Alamance County to close down. We felt like it was aggressive, but it wasn't reckless. Then there was a season where our church did need to shut down because about 40% of our folks got COVID, not from each other, thank God, just from that little crazy spike in Alamance County that happened. And you know what? We said, hey, wisdom is, you know, we're going to do this. We want to be aggressive, but not careless. We believe that meeting for a season while a bunch of people are sick is probably a careless thing to do. Let's throw this thing in neutral and we'll just go online. We did it. And as soon as we could put it back in fifth gear and cruise down the road, we said, hey, we're back. Would your family say this, that you are bold in your leadership, not reckless, not careless, not where you're going to hurt somebody, but are you bold in your leadership? Are you actually taking your family somewhere? Because I promise you this, Dad, if you're not taking your family somewhere, nobody else is. Single mom, this kind of goes for you too. If you don't have a plan for your family, Scripture says this, where there's no vision, people perish. Encouragement. Are you just telling your family what they want to hear? You know, you're tickling their ears, you're telling them the truth, but you got to tell them the truth in love. So it took me to this place. Now I want you to look at this scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 5. Now he's talking to qualifications for overseers. Now here's the thing. You go, well, I don't want to be an overseer. I don't blame you. But I want you to notice what he talks to, because if I'm going to create a list for an overseer, I'm going to create a spiritualist. Anybody ever been in a church where they had like a job description before you took the job, and they go through like all your spiritual characteristics, right? Like you must pray 1 hour a day. You must have attended the church for 23 years. You must have a blue suit. You must, right? I don't know what their qualifications are, but you've been to those places, right? I want you to notice as you leave those scriptures up, please. But it says this. It says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. He said, man, you know, if you want to lead something, you're setting yourself on something good. I agree with that. Next verse. We're going to go through these pretty quick, Steve. It says, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. I'm going to say this, that every man in this room, your qualification needs to be above reproach. You need to be a man of integrity in every aspect of your life, including and especially your family. Because you're the overseer of your family. Now, we know that this is a spiritual position, but I think that you can translate this well. It says this, you must be the husband but of one wife. We just solved about 40% of the divorce rate in our country. You don't need to go on Facebook and find out where your ex is and how they look. Most of the time, you're going to be disappointed. Because let's be honest, we look good for our age. That would have been an easy time for you to just say amen, but you don't have the confidence to do it. You look good for your age. You married well. And if you married bad, it's your own fault. Don't feel bad about yourself. Skip that. But you should be married to one wife. You should be sober-minded, man. You should look at things the way that they really are, not through this lens of what you want them to look like. You should be self-controlled. Your temper should be self-controlled. Your tongue should be self-controlled. You should be able to control your devotional life, your prayer life. You should be able to control what you do. You are a grown man. You should be respectable. I'm gonna make a statement. I want you to finish this. To be respected, you must give. Sounds to me like you're learning how to run your house. He goes on and says this, you must be hospitable to everybody, Jesus. Yes. Even the people I don't like, especially to the people you don't like. What about my wife's crazy? Yes, that's exactly who I'm talking about. You've got to learn to suck it up, buttercup. Does that mean I put up with shenanigans in my house? No, but let me tell you something. As soon as I'm done nipping the shenanigans, as soon as I'm done Barney Fifing it, because what do you do when you see a problem coming? You nip it in the bud. But once I'm done nipping, I throw a little cow manure on it. A little hospitals, because you know what? Nothing heals a cut better than a Band-Aid. I tell people all the time, especially husbands, don't ever cut up anything you're not willing to stitch up. You can speak in truth, but then you got to put it back together and let's move forward. See, some of us will spank our kids and get over it in 5 minutes, but we won't do that with the in-laws. I'll stop preaching. Okay. You must be able to teach. Teach who? Teach yourself, teach your family, teach the world around you. You've got to be able to share what you know. And if you stink at it, practice it. My son and I went and played golf this week for the first time this year. We haven't played since the one time we played last year. And we had practiced about the 3 minutes we did in the side yard 4 times before we went. And we hit, good news, my son beat me. He shot a 48. I shot a... But we were bad because we don't ever practice it. We don't practice putting. We don't practice chipping. We don't practice drives. We don't practice irons. We don't practice any other part of our golf. We don't practice sand traps. We don't practice hiking in the woods because we spent more time doing that than we did anything else. And let me tell you something. You've got to be able to teach, but you can't teach what you don't practice. Verse 3. Not a drunkard. Man, if you've got habits in your life that would cause people not to be able to respect you, you need to get rid of them. Yeah, but I've had this one little secret sin. Well, make it not secret. Find a brother you can trust. Find me. Find a pastor that you can trust. Find somebody that can help lead you out of it and get rid of it. He said this, not quarrelsome. Man, if you're a dude and you love to argue with people, stop it. You ever met a couple that all they do is fight? Or you met that one husband and you thought to yourself as a wife, I would never be married to that dude because I'd kill him. You can't be a lover of money. Doesn't mean you can't be money-minded. You can be money-minded. The root of all evil is the love of money. Not money. Money's not the problem. It's loving money above people and above processes and above. Verse 4. He must be able to manage his own household well. Man, stop and look soberly minded at your house and go, man, how is my house doing? Today it's pouring buckets and buckets of rain. If you went to your house and all of a sudden you looked up and there was water dripping in your house, you wouldn't go, wow, I'm going to the other room. Now, if you're a handyman, you're going to try to find the leak. If you're not a handyman, you're going to start phoning friends that are. But you know what? We won't ignore a drip in the room, but we'll ignore a problem in our house until it becomes a flood. Until it becomes too big for us to handle. And what I'm saying is this is, are you managing your house well? Now here's the thing. You can either fall into condemnation and try to ignore the problem, or you can do this. You can go, man, my house may not be running well, but I'm going to fix it. Well, my kids are almost grown. Well, you know what? Start now. You can't turn hands of time backwards. But you can handle today. You can begin to beat what's crooked in your life and in your family straight. I don't mean beat your family, but I mean begin to address those things with passion and vigor. With all dignity, keeping his children in submissive. Man, how are your kids? Because here's the thing. If your kids are crazy, there's a good chance you are. Tell me I'm wrong. You ever met somebody with crazy kids and you see the family and you're like, well, that explains it. If you don't like your own kids, nobody else does. Fix it. Tell me I'm lying to you this morning. I can tickle your ears if you want me to. Verse 5. So, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for the church? How can you go any further in your faith walk if you don't manage your own house well? I'm not talking about perfection, but handle it well. Work on it. So here's the question. So what if husbands we did this? What if husbands we took took Timothy and we said this. We said, you know what? I'm going to use this as the litmus test. We don't have Proverbs 31 for men. We don't. I wish we did. Like, it'd make it easier, right? But what if we took this and we said, you know what? This deals with how I lead myself and how I lead my family. What if I use this every day and I make it the litmus test? Am I of one wife? Man, God, is my eyes wandering? Let's be honest. Men are more likely by percentage. Now, this number, this gap is closing, unfortunately, due to culture. But men are more likely to look at pornography than women are. Ain't nobody going to amen that. Y'all going to leave me sitting all by myself. But am I a lover of but one woman? My wife. Am I guarding that? How am I doing when it comes to leading my children? How am I doing it when it comes to my integrity? What if we use this and we really made it a litmus test and we said this, God, I may look in the mirror and not be the man I want to be today. But if you'll come back in a year, I'll be that man in a year. Come back in a year, maybe you're not 100% of that man. God, if you'll come back in another year, Reverend Matthew McConaughey said this. Thank y'all for getting that. Matthew McConaughey said this in an interview with a reporter. She said, "Who's your hero?" And he said, "Well, it's not me right now, but if you'll come back in 5 years, the guy that I'll be in 5 years, that'll be my hero." Well, this is one of the most brilliant reporters of all time because she actually put a reminder on her phone, set up another appointment with Matthew McConaughey and came back in 5 years and said, "Matthew McConaughey, are you the man that you said you'd be in 5 years?" He said, "Well, I'm more that man than I wanted to be, but if you'll come back in 5 years, I'll be that man." And what I found was this, is that Matthew McConaughey, whether I don't know any of his religious beliefs, I'm not saying go follow Matthew McConaughey. What I am saying is this, is at least that man understood that we're always going to be in the fight to be the man that we're called to be. It's not going to happen overnight, and it's not going to happen without consistency. And you're never going to 100% get there. But it's this fight to get as close as you can possibly become. Does this make any sense to you? Men, we hate fights we can't win. We'll quit. This is a fight you can win, but it's a fight that starts new every day because you're going to get up with you every day. And you're going to figure out how to raise the 5-year-old version of your kid, but the problem is in 1 year, they're going to become 6. Then you got a new problem and you got a new battle. And you know what? You married a 25-year-old, but in a year, she's going to be 26. And in 25 years, she's going to be like 50. And the 50-year-old version of your wife does not react and respond and see the world like your 25-year-old wife did. Not better. Where everybody's laughing like I'm making a dig at 50-year-old women. I'm not. Man, let me tell you something. There's a beauty that's in 50 that's not in 25. It's not the same beauty. It's a different beauty. There's a wisdom at 25. How many of you, I hear people all the time go, "Man, if I could go back to being 20, I'd do it." No, you're an idiot. Do you remember 25? No. I would do it better. I make different decisions. But you know what? There's a song that we sang that said, "You know what? But I've got scars." But I guess that's how you learn. You know, maybe the scars that you have, maybe the scars you have as a family, as a couple, as an individual, maybe the scars that you have as a single mom or as a divorcee or as a single person, maybe some of the scars you have aren't because God didn't love you, but they're ways to remind you of where you're going. Maybe some of the worst fights that we've had as couples are so that I could learn how to manage our family without those fights. Maybe the problem in my family is not everybody else. Maybe the problem's me. Can I be honest with you? Whenever our church goes through an ebb or flow, I don't start calling our leaders, asking them what they did wrong and why people aren't showing up. The first thing I do is I go to the mirror and I say, "Man, am I leading our church well?" When my family goes through a hiccup, AKA major uprisings and problems, I don't start with the person that I'm contentious with. I start with, what'd I do? Did I help this happen? Doesn't mean I don't have to address their end of the behavior, right? But I, as a man, as a leader, you always start with the head and work your way down. We've got several paramedics that go here, and they're going to tell you, man, the first thing when you walk up on a victim, you're going to go, hey, can they talk to me? Is their head, is their brain, are they functional? You always start with the head and work your way down. Man, you're the head of your house. You're the leader. It all starts with you. Are you somebody you want to follow? Are you somebody you want to be married to? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Forget about everybody else in your family. The question today is, it's Father's Day. I'm supposed to give you a rah-rah speech. I'm supposed to tell you how great you are. But here's the real question. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Because if you're not, it's time to man up. If your daddy never taught you this, it doesn't mean your dad's a bad dude. Somebody probably didn't teach him. Some of us are making this up as we go along. We don't have a playbook. That was your playbook. Paul's writing looks at us and says, look, if you're going to be an overseer, which is noble, the way your house should be run. Well, if that's true of overseers, shouldn't that be everybody's goal to be in a position, whether we ever became an overseer or not? Shouldn't it be our goal to run our house that way? I think the blueprint for how to really be a man and how to really run our house is found in Paul's writing. So with every head down, every eye closed, nobody looking around. If you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, man, I need to do this thing. I need to get my house in order. I need to get my life back where it's supposed to be. But you know what? I have drifted away, or maybe I've never had a relationship with Christ, man. This is your moment. This is the place where you either commit or you recommit your life back to Christ. If that's you, will you just raise your hand real quick? We just want to pray with you and over you. Thank you so much. Those online, man, it's the same question, man. If you're watching, you're like, man, I need to start this journey, but I need a relationship with Christ. Across this building, will you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, today I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Make me the leader and the person that I'm destined to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. And for every father that's listening or is in house, Father, I pray that you give us the courage, Father, to lead our families according to your word. God, I pray that you give us the strength, Father, to lead our families in ways of righteousness, God, to live our life above reproach, God, to live our life with integrity, God, to lead well, to love well, to serve well. Father, to pick our fights and our battles wisely. Father, will you let us be men of God who seek your word and seek your face, God, who lead our family in paths of righteousness. God, will you let us rise to that challenge? God, will you let us man up and be what you've called us to be? In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We just appreciate your presence and you taking time to listen to this podcast today. Man, we just pray that it ministers to you. If we can serve you or if you'd like to reach out to us, feel free to do so. You can email us at amen@thrivechurchonline.com. Again, amen@thrivechurchonline.com. We just want to thank you again for being a part of our church and allowing us to speak into your life. We pray that the Lord blesses you, and we can't wait to see you again next time.